Welcome to the Salesforce Developer Podcast. My name is René Winkelmeier, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Salesforce Developer Advocates who are going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and everything actually you have to know these days as a Salesforce developer. My guest today is no one less than Philippe Ozil.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Philippe, I would like to talk to you about a topic that I think is very, very interesting for many developers who work across Salesforce's technology boundaries, and that is the integration with AWS. I know that you're giving a talk soon. Actually, it will be done after this, or before this episode aired, about the unified developer experience between Salesforce and AWS, specifically around data integrations and event-driven integration. Tell me more.
All right. So this is actually a talk I've given a couple of times, and it's a really a topic that I love because it gets me a chance to learn more about the AWS ecosystem. And there are a lot of things you can do in this space. And I think it's more important these days, especially with the strong partnership we've developed with Amazon. So there are really two facets regarding those unified developer experiences. One is clearly geared at event-driven integrations, and that's going to be everything that is platform events or change that capture events related. And the other side of the equation is more data-driven, and this is going to be using Salesforce Connect. So it's going to be basically a way to virtualize access to AWS data sources. There are different options to do all of this, and which one would you like to hear more about?
So I would say let's start with data integrations, which I believe are going through Salesforce Connect's AWS adapters, right?
Absolutely. So this is not new, this release. This has been going for a couple of releases already, and there are mainly three key options to do this. There are a number of adapters. If you're not familiar first with Salesforce Connect, maybe do a little reset so that everyone is on the same page. Salesforce Connect allows you to connect with external data sources without replicating data. So imagine you have a database outside of Salesforce. You need to access it within Lightning Experience, within reports and dashboards, within anything in your Salesforce experience. You can do this with Salesforce Connect without replicating data. It's called data virtualization. There are a number of adapters that let you connect to different data sources. For example, Heroku. You can also connect to other Salesforce orgs with the cross-org adapter. And you can connect basically to any other OData data sources. And OData being a standard, you can even create your own OData adapter. Now, for the topic of today's session, I'm going to talk more about our AWS adapters, which are fairly new. I think they're like two or three releases old. And we have three of those. Obviously, the AWS ecosystem is fairly complex. There are a number of components that exist in this space. And we've developed three AWS adapters for Salesforce Connect that let you really integrate with those data sources without any code. So that's pretty powerful because imagine, as I mentioned earlier, you have access to record pages, you have access to reports and dashboards, you even have access to APIs on the Salesforce side that actually hit the AWS data sources. So what do we have? Three options, as I mentioned. The first one is Amazon DynamoDB. And this, if you don't know what this is, it's actually a NoSQL database. It's something that you can use for really high-scale scenarios, up to billions of records. This is really good for reading, writing data, but it doesn't support reporting on the Salesforce side. So that's one type of database. The other type, second type, is Amazon Athena. Athena is it's a SQL database, but it's kind of special in terms of implementation in the sense that it's file-based. And the data structure of Athena is actually stored in Amazon S3 data sources. So that's kind of a special setup. And what the adapter does is basically it lets you transfer SQL queries into SQL by doing a little translation mechanism. And in the end, you can read data from this source. What's special with the Athena adapter is that it's read-only. You cannot write to it. And you can still use it also for reporting purposes in Salesforce. Finally, I think the most flexible option is the last and third one. That's the GraphQL adapter. And why is it so flexible? Well, because it allows us to connect to a variety of data sources in the Amazon ecosystem. And in Amazon, there's an umbrella term called RDS, or Relational Data Store, which contains a number of different database types. Obviously, they like to make use of special branding, so you don't see the real names of the databases, but you see something like Amazon Aura, which is in fact a Postgres database. And that's the main connector we have. That's the GraphQL adapter, which lets you connect to Amazon Aura. Right now, there's only this one, but in the future, you can imagine that there's going to be a number of other relational databases that are going to be supported. So this is a bit of a bit more work in terms of setup, but it is very powerful because you can do read-write operations, you can do reporting, and a whole set of operations you would do on any other Salesforce Connect adapters. So that's in a nutshell the options you have for Salesforce Connect and AWS. Again, zero code, so it's super powerful. You can even call those databases with your own Apex code if you want. That's pretty cool.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I think I read some time ago about the actual announcement where the Salesforce Connect adapter for GraphQL, and I totally agree with you, that is the most flexible option, goes through AWS AppSync and has, I think, a Lambda-based GraphQL resolver, which then translates actually GraphQL to a SQL query and then accesses Aurora, which is, I think, really powerful because, again, you know, in a multi-cloud world, it just makes sense, really, to bring everything together in one cohesive experience. And the way that you just described also around having the data from an external system natively available in Salesforce via external objects and use that in your UI or as well in your other customizations, for example, code with Apex or in a flow, is really powerful, right? It creates a seamless experience for the end users and also adds some, I would say, fun for us developers that we, you know, don't have to write all these integrations always ourselves.
Absolutely. And what's really great about those solutions is that they come pre-packaged. There's a bit of configuration you have to do. And the GraphQL adapter one, being the most complex in terms of components, does come with a pre-packaged solution on the Amazon side. They have templates that you can use and deploy to pre-set up all of these things, the AppSync component, the Lambda component. You don't even need to go into code. So it's very interesting. And it did basically it saves us some time so that we don't have to work on things that are really not best use of our time, like doing synchronization mechanisms, replication. That's a whole nightmare. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Cool. Now, the second type that you mentioned is event-driven integration. That has been a pet peeve for me since many years, I believe, since MuleSoft joined us. I think that was like in 2017, 2018, also when we first delivered platform events, really, as a successor of Comet D, which, again, I think event-driven is really the way to go because it brings you this near real-time integration across technologies. What does it mean in the context of Salesforce and AWS?
Yep. So, yeah, there are a number of technologies you can use there. And recently, we also introduced the PubSub API as well. But for everything that is AWS-related, I will say that you have something called Event Relays, which is a very powerful tool and actually very easy to set up. You can do this in like 10 minutes. And it lets you take any streaming events, like platform events, change data capture events, and directly send them to an Amazon bus. This bus, by the way, is called Event Bridge. So that's the name of the Amazon Events bus. And with Event Relay, you can automatically convert your Salesforce events into Amazon events. Now, there's also a technical solution to do the reverse operation, taking events from Event Bridge, Amazon Event Bridge, back into Salesforce Event Bus. And these two things are possible. Now, there are a number of things that are also new in the next release, the Summer 24 release. We've now enabled support for the standard Salesforce-defined platform events, like, for example, the ones that work with real-time event monitoring. These are not supported as well by Event Relay. Prior to that, earlier releases, you could only work with custom platform events and custom change data captures, but now we're expanding this. And you can also now work with stream filtering, meaning you can select specific events based on their payload content and not redirect everything. So that's a lot more flexibility that is coming up in Event Relay configuration.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I read the release note about this, which I think is really exciting that, for example, event logging is really a hot topic because there's so much happening within an org and customers use so many different ways and mechanisms to actually store logging data across their enterprise. And now with this capability, it gives them the opportunity to also feed in an event monitoring really into their solution. For example, Prometheus, or, you know, that they can surface that in Grafana as an example, or into Splunk, which I think is really, really powerful.
Absolutely.
So what would you recommend for someone who is a Salesforce developer who works in, you know, on a Salesforce org largely, and maybe has, you know, a sibling team where the AWS team sits? So what is the best way how someone would approach to explore these technologies and how they can bring actually the value and the data that exists across both systems or both environments together?
Yeah. So I think the easiest way to get started is just simply to grab a developer edition org, and you can try all of these things for free in there because you have the licenses for Salesforce Connect and you can already play with Event Relay. So there's really a zero cost. You can even take an AWS sandbox and you can already experiment with it. I already recorded, I think, a number of videos that showcase how to do this. It's really fast and easy to set up. So I think that'll be my main recommendation here. Don't think that it's complex. Of course, sometimes the architecture diagrams can be intimidating when you talk about AWS. I know all the branding also is a bit intimidating because they have a different terminology compared to us. Obviously, I think the Amazon developers would think the same about Salesforce. But yeah, you need to learn a bit about the terminology, but the core concepts are mostly the same, the event buses and the events, the APIs. And I think it's once you know what these terms are, it's fairly easy to get started.
Cool. So you also mentioned a couple of videos and other resources. So we're going to make sure that we're going to link them in the show notes. So everyone who listens to this podcast episode can also directly, as you said, see our content, explore what we did and do with it, and then also get themselves hands-on with it, as you said, pretty fast.
Sure. One thing that is not directly related to unified developer experience, but it does make sense to mention here since we were talking about event-driven technologies, there's something new that is coming up in the summer release, and it's called Managed Subscriptions for the PubSub API. There's a beta starting in summer, which I think is very interesting because there's a challenge when you work with event-driven technologies is that you need to keep track of replay IDs, basically the identifier of messages. If your connection drops at some point, events are still coming up and you want to resume the connection later on, well, you need a replay ID to resume the connection up to the point where you lost the connection. So what managed subscriptions let you do is basically store for you the latest delivered replay ID. And there's a whole beta coming up, I think, which will be very interesting to look at.
Great. Yeah, I think platform events, as we know, had some weaknesses in the past, right? And that's, you know, I think that's in general with a PubSub-based implementation that there is no guarantee of delivery. I think that is something that sometimes people have to remember and to internalize, right? Yeah. That a bus, you know, consumes and auto publishes events, but you never know, is it delivery really guaranteed, right? So I think that, like, managed subscriptions will help to get more confidence and also more reliability.
Absolutely.
To this.
Yeah.
Great. Philippe, I thank you so much for being my guest today on the podcast. I know you will travel tomorrow to Prague for Czech Dreaming, and on Friday you will actually give this talk. So I'm really excited for the Czech audience about this. And I hope to have you back soon on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
If you're still here, thanks for listening, and head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also, check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.